Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm Jill Spears, your host, and I'm here with my favorite gardeners, Lance and Lulu. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hot fun in the summertime.
Mm. Oh, yeah, buddy.
Right?
Yeah.
It is hot out there. And today's the last day of July.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's easy to stay cool, though. I love that
part seems like it is. The nights have been cool.
Yeah.
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 It goes down to 60 at night, 59
right.
on the front porch last night.
Beautiful.
I was talking to some farmers in Cedar Ridge, and they had 45 degrees.
Oh, that's chilly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're only at 58. It's just the way the air flows.
Yeah.
Right?
The million-dollar breeze.
The million-dollar breeze. Friends mm-hmm. I had luncheon today with a bunch of friends and some from Aspen, and they went way down last night.
Yeah, my neighbor was in Crested Butte, and it got pretty cold, in the high 30s. So,
baby.
And you can just feel it. Some signs like the trees have a little tinge to them. I don't know if that's heat stress.
And they sound different.
They do. It's just this autumnal kind of thing coming on.
We always said that in Carbondale. We always said after Mountain Fair, you know you're on the downhill slide.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Mountain Fair was just the weekend.
This weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, and the hummers are back.
The hummers are
back.
They
are making their way. So
clean your feeders, mm-hmm. 4 to 1, one part sugar, 4 parts water. Always use white sugar. I know it doesn't seem right, but it is.
They find it. They like the clear.
And it's sterile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you feed them molasses or honey, there might be bacteria in there that can mess them up. So feed them white sugar and water and they'll be fine. 4 to 1.
Sounds good. All right. We're here for an hour, 970. I have a little frog in my throat. 527-486-8866. KVNF now. worm@kvnf.org. Let's see. Well, let's just start with watering. Mm-hmm. Lulu, you mentioned when you came into remind everybody, watering deep in your pots.
In your pots, yeah. At this time of year, your pots are going to get so dry. And mm-hmm. and Lance, do you have pots at
no.
all? No, see. So, you know, if you've got pots. Oh, and I got the smart pots going in the West Garden. Remember I was saying? Uh-huh. And, before I planted them, I soaked them all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just surface watering, but I can tell by the way it's bubbling up on the surface that it needs more down
low.
Oh,
wow.
I helped some friend plant, potted plant. She bought it out of the nursery. Was that last week? And
time flies when you're
having fun. And she had been watering every day, and every one of those plants was dry.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's exactly my point.
I said, look at this. And she was going to wait because it was too hot. I said, oh, no, better in the ground than in the
Right.
There's a really good way to tell. You start watering and the air bubbles come up. And you water until there aren't any mm-hmm. more air bubbles. That means you've got the water all the way down.
It's saturated.
Or it comes out the bottom, whichever comes first or last. Oh, Adam
There's
is such
Adam.
A sweetheart.
He is. Yeah.
He is
our engineer.
But, she realized after seeing that if she had put it in a tray, the pots in a tray, the water would have been sucked back up into the thing. But anyways, so pay attention.
Pay attention is the bottom line.
Yeah. Right. And Lance, you don't really have a irrigation system. Your system is dragging your hoses, right?
Yeah. I like... every 20 minutes, I get up and move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I'm pulling hoses, you know, sprinklers. And I'm doing both row irrigation and I like frog eyes.
Yeah,
I do
me
too.
Too.
Right?
And they
me
don't
too.
Break.
They
don't
break.
Clog. And do you think you can find one in the stores? No.
Really? Hard to find? Is that old-fashioned? Really?
It's old-fashioned. But, I bought some a couple of years ago. But right now, I'm looking around and I just want to have a couple extra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. Right.
Yeah, me too, because you leave them out and then the plants grow and you can't find them.
Do you feel like you just get more of the application that you want by dragging your hoses versus an irrigation system?
Or? I change things up every year, so it's different water needs.
Sure.
All the beds are sprinkled, no matter what's in them.
Right.
And then when I'm doing row crops.
Right, but sometimes you need more, sometimes you need less.
Yeah. And stuff. And so, and then row crops, they're, you know, watered. And, you know, I move those every 20 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, right along with everything else. And
I do 30-minute sets on the hill strip. Mm-hmm. That's where I have to move the hose. And I use the frog eyes. And I try to keep the radius of the sprinkle not terribly a lot on the sidewalk or the street.
Yeah,
it's really hard, though. And then if I have the big sprinklers on, the water levels fluctuate. And so if anybody thinks I'm out there, thinks I'm crazy because they've seen me flooding the street, you're right, I am crazy. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, but the other thing is when you're moving sprinklers, you got this radius that's hit.
Yes.
And then you move the sprinkler to the edge of the where you watered so that it's getting an overlap back in and going back the other way.
Right.
So you don't just do it from one central to the next circle. It's halfway and halfway.
Right. Yeah. You got to overlap.
Yeah.
There's that saturation area there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you get a real even flow and it just works.
Right.
You know, don't ask us why. We don't know all that physics stuff. It just works. Just do it, okay?
Yeah. And anybody that's been to my house, they'll see that I had those frog eyes on these sleds. And my uncle, years and years ago, probably 20, 30 years ago, and he was a machinist. He just started cutting pipe and gluing it together, and he came up with that design.
Sleds.
They're pieces of 3/4-inch pipe, and the front end, the way you're pulling it with the hose, is 45-degree fittings, not 90s. So it actually acts like a sed. And it stands up.
Allows you to easily drag that hose.
I just drag that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the backside's 90s. And there's some other 45s and 90s in there to get it to be upright.
I have my frog eye tied with a shoelace. It's true.
Sure.
On a piece of 2x2.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up out of the grass enough.
Right.
To
And it doesn't...
it doesn't flip.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't flip. It's stable.
Yeah. I've got some extra broken shoelaces. I'm going to try that at
home. I'm telling you, it works like a charm.
Yeah, I saw somebody, an old-timer, that had them put on pieces of plywood with wire.
Yeah.
Just wired them down.
Right.
Yeah.
I need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works like a charm. You have to get clever. You can't just be a numbnut out there. You gotta get clever.
Be clever about it.
Yeah.
Be clever. Hey. And then that makes it fun.
Uh-huh, exactly.
You know
what I just did. Yeah. Look at
my
tricks.
Oh, wow, that worked. Woohoo!
Hey, Don, one of our favorite listeners, is on the line to talk about squash and pollination.
Oh, boy.
Hi Don.
Hello, everyone.
Hi. Hello. How are you out there in hot adobes?
It's really hot today. Definitely hot. The squash is not as lush as it had been. I kind of got behind on my watering. And before I knew it, things were really, really dry.
No.
But my question is, like the tomato, the feathering the flowers at the right time of day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have all these squash plants. They look really good, and only one squash, and it's been around for a couple of weeks. But lots of flowers, lots of pollinators, no fruit.
Okay, first of all, are they all male flowers? Do you know the difference?
Can you tell the difference?
I don't. This is why I'm calling right now.
Okay,
perfect.
Okay, I suspect you have all male flowers because the female flower will be a flower with, at the base, will be a small, immature squash.
Tiny, little squash.
And sometimes squash, when they first start blooming, they put out nothing but male flowers. And the male flowers are tall and upright. The female flowers will be right off the vine because that's where the squash develops.
Mm. Right, and I noticed that because I do have one, it's very healthy, and yeah. the flower is out at the end of the squash.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Yep.
So what does he do?
Well, some people say he pull all the male flowers off.
I think I could probably do a test and pull a bunch of those off.
You could do some, not all of them.
Yeah.
You still need male flowers if there's a few female flowers in there.
Right, and hedge your bets, too. You know, there might be, you know, I make mistakes with it, and I'm doing that. So hedge your bets. Don't take all of them.
Yeah, don't take all of them.
You just might take a female as well, and then you go, oh, dang, I feel like such an idiot. And then you don't want to do that.
This is my latest sound effect, but I think that gives a big for that. That sounds great. It's something I can do right away, and thank you so much.
Yeah. You're so welcome.
Good deal, Don. You got it going on out there.
Yep, he does.
Tomatoes to plums to squash.
To paradise trees. And the whole nine yards. Awesome.
All right, well, again, I will hang up and keep listening to the show.
All right. Thanks, Don.
Thanks for
your call. Thank you for calling. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Right, bye.
Bye. Yeah, and we know the rest of you slackers are out there, too. So, you know, give us a call because you must have something going on.
Oh, there's so much going on out there.
Yeah, there is.
Let us know what's happening.
It's that time, you know. Mm-hmm. It's go time and slow time and, my.
Hey, here's an email.
Good.
And our email is worm@kvnf.org. And Marilyn writes in, snakes and beets. Chicks and ducks and snakes and beets.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing a few. I'm actually seeing baby snakes.
Oh, you are now.
Yeah, I have to really be careful when I'm mowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And stuff, because they're only 6 inches.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and I've seen a few big ones. And beets, let them dry out.
Okay, so let me read her question, because I think you just answered it. But her question was that you had mentioned that you weren't seeing snakes, so she is remarking on that. And wondered if that changed. Yes, it has, Marilyn. The baby snakes are out. And does she need to quit watering the beets she's going to gather seeds from, or just wait until they turn brown? So stop watering?
Stop watering them. Because if you keep watering, they're indeterminate, which means they keep on growing.
They keep growing.
Yeah, and I haven't watered my beets for seed for 2 to 3 weeks. Ready to harvest them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're harvesting beets for seed, but you're also getting ready to plant beets
for
fall planting.
Fall crop, yeah.
I put my beets in, and I'm happy to report that they're up.
Oh great.
Nice. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. But all the other seed crops, just real quick, I'm drying out except for the lettuce. The lettuce is just starting to bloom.
Oh, the lettuce. My lettuce came up, too. I just planted late lettuce, and that came up.
So what else do you got? Poppy seeds?
Poppy seeds are all harvested and finally drying out. I'll eventually sit there some evening and cut open the pots.
Oh.
Or maybe at 4 a.m. It depends.
What suits your fancy.
Yeah, and stuff. And the other seeds, the celery seeds coming along really good. The carrot seeds have to dry out quite a bit more. Onion seeds, I could probably harvest those. I've opened them up, and at least the seeds are black, which is what you want.
That's what you want, yeah.
But they haven't started busting open those little seeds. They look like pom-poms. Is that?
Yeah.
But they
the
haven't
chives or the big onions? Because chives look exactly the same.
Yeah.
But it's little pom-poms.
Yeah, these are big.
Okay, so you're going for the big onion.
Yeah, this is New York Earlies. Onion.
See?
And then, of course, the beets dried out, and the finocchio's almost getting there. Yeah.
All right. So that was a pretty big bed that you have of all kinds of seed varieties. Mm-hmm. What do you do with that bed when you harvested all of that? Is that going to just put some cover crop in for the winter, or what's your process for that?
I haven't got that yet.
Oh, okay.
Because that bed will be the next year's early crops. So I'm not. I probably will not plant a cover crop because you got to turn that in, and then it has to break down. Mm-hmm. So I will probably prep it this fall,
okay,
and have it ready to plant in March.
Yeah. All right. Prepping. Wow. You mentioned just when we were chatting about broad forking. We haven't even brought up broad forking.
Broad forking.
Good old broad forks.
Yeah. Anyways, well, I got the poppy seed plants out. Clean those up. I'm watering it now, because it hasn't had water for over a month, and it just wanted those seed pods to dry out.
Right.
And then I will spread some compost on it. And I don't know. I usually, when I'm going in between other plants and stuff, I don't use the broad fork. I just use my regular spading fork. Mm-hmm. It fits into smaller areas, sure, but it's just sticking it in. And those tines on the broad fork are the same length as the tines on my spading fork. So I'm getting the same depth, and it's 11 and a half inches.
Yeah.
And I'm just loosening the soil up. The compost will go in. I actually push it in, push the fork forward a little bit, then back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pull it back out. And I'll do the entire bed that way, and it's ready to plant.
All right.
Right. So I always use just the little fork, because mm-hmm. the broad fork's too big.
Too big.
Yeah. So I use a little one.
There you go.
Same idea.
Exactly. Well, I mean, just smaller area.
Yeah, mm-hmm. smaller area. And I have the small tiller, too, which is just fabulous.
Well, tools for the right.
That's right.
For you.
Right.
The right tool
right.
for the right
tool for you.
Job.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And you're putting some spinach in where your poppy seeds are?
Yes. I've already got the Bloomsdale, winter Bloomsdale, planted in the... right in before that was where the potato onions were, and they're actually just coming up, and that was planted. It's amazing, but that was planted Friday.
No kidding.
It was planted Friday, and it's now just coming up, some of them.
And I planted stuff on late last week too, Friday and Saturday, and it's all coming up.
Yeah. That's how fast your beets were?
Yeah, the beets and the arugula, you can't, you know.
And then then there's about 12 feet of where the poppies were. I'll plant six rows in there. So that's actually 72 feet of row that I'll plant in there. Plant there. And that will be the northern giant or winter giant, something like that. But that's that big spinach that's smooth leafed.
Oh, yeah. Kind of the pointy.
Yeah, pointed leaf. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of spinach.
Great.
Right? Oh, and remember last week when Amber was talking about the lace wings?
Yes.
The eggs hanging on the undersides of the milkweed?
Mm-hmm.
I stopped pulling the aphids off my milkweed. It's covered with lace wing eggs.
Perfect.
So I'm not taking any chances. Everybody gets to stay.
Everybody gets to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets to play.
Seems like the second coming of milkweed on all the ditches and everything. The plants are just have the big fat pods on
those
them again.
Big, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. And then those pods will break open and plant more milkweed.
I know. I love it.
There's so many different kinds. There's those big puffy pod, big puffy pink flowers, and there's skinny ones. And there's orange milkweed, this beautiful orange, Asclepias tuberosa. And there's the one that I have, which is the common swamp milkweed that's covered with these orange aphids. Right. But the lace wings are there. I saw tons of the little tiny. You can't believe something this tiny survives.
Mm-hmm.
It's tiny little hair with this tiny, tiny little ball on the end.
Amazing.
And they just all hang like when you're upside down and your hair is just hanging.
always feels good.
Yeah, they're just there. It's awesome.
And I'm not sure which milkweed it is, but I saw a monarch today. So I was really happy about that. It was giant. It was super cool.
That's right. And you know why a lot... Oh, we got a phone call. I see the light on.
We do have a phone call.
I see the light.
Finish your thought, would you?
No, what was that? Oh. There was... yeah. No, I got distracted by the party lights.
Right. Exactly. All right. So it's Skip. Skip called about watering last week, and he wants to follow up on that. And watering and pollinators. Hi, Skip.
Hi, Skip.
Hey. Hi. Hey, you guys. Yeah, I was just going to... I called 2 weeks ago, and we ascertained that I was watering way too much, and so I still haven't quite figured out my automatic sprinkler system, but I have been manually turning it off for, you know, a couple of days here and there.
Good.
So hopefully my water bill will be better. But then I also wanted to, like, say, in terms of the pollinator, I figured out that the one plant I was trying to describe last or 2 weeks ago was Blue Star Holly.
Oh, beautiful.
It almost looks like a thistle, but smaller flowers, and the bugs just love that plant.
Okay.
Like, they go crazy all over it.
Wow, cool.
So, for whatever it's worth, if people are looking for pollinators, that might be a good one to try.
Blue Star Holly. Gorgeous.
Blue Star Holly.
And I don't know if it's, like, good for anything. It's probably, you could put it, make tinctures out of it or whatever if you do that sort of stuff. But, like, for us, like, I just, you know, have it in the yard until it dies. But
it's an annual.
Love it.
Yeah.
I think it's
It's coming up. Yeah. So
yeah. And so an it annual. Goes to seed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where
and
did,
I'm not,
where'd you get
I'm
the
not
seeds?
Sure, like,
did you
I,
just.
You know, I think we bought actual plants.
Ah.
And then it just kind of started doing its thing, and it seems to be expanding, too.
Perfect. Like,
oh, yeah.
Perfect.
It kind of goes where it goes, and I think we got more this year than last year. And we had kind of a lot last year, so. But I like having all the bugs flying around. And you can walk really close to the plants. They don't seem to, like, jump on you or anything. They're more interested in the Blue Star Holly than.
Yes.
Busy, yeah.
Yeah.
And blue,
than human beings, so
right. And blue is such a nice color to
punctuate
your
in
yard.
The,
you know,
in the garden.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're gonna get some.
She's looking up Blue Star Holly.
Yeah.
She's...
Oh, it's an original. Oh, of course, it's original. We know.
Okay. I should probably look up like what that stuff does, like in terms of like if you. I don't know. I don't know if it's edible or it's not, or if you, I assume you can make certain, not sure what.
Yeah, I wouldn't
well,
know.
Well, I don't either, but I can look it up for you for sure and figure it out.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Anyway, I just figured I'd give you that update there. And, I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate the updates. Always good to hear how
advice
turns out, right?
And look,
right.
We heard about Blue Star Holly. What's not to like?
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Skip.
All right,
appreciate
thanks.
The call.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Later. Bye.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah, it's real pretty. I just
nice color
it.
To it.
Yeah, and it's hardy too. It's hardy. It likes the heat. It's pretty much drought tolerant.
That's what we're looking for. It's that kind of plant these days. 970-527-48-6886 KVNF now, and email is worm@kvnf.org. And we have an email from Kathy, who sent us a picture of a little baby peach. It's still quite green, but it's got some brown spots on it. And she is just wondering what that might be. Kind of looks like, is that like the rust you guys were talking about last week?
This
the rusty.
Is a little different.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
I don't know, a hush bell over the crowd. Well, this looks like something, a borer of some sort got in there.
Now this spot looks like a sugar mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's a little spot. I think there might be some kind of little borer that got in there. Yikes. Well, don't, I wouldn't, it, if it's not all over every peach, don't worry about it.
And if it is a bore, you can spray spinosad.
Yep.
On the plant, on the tree.
On the peach, the whole thing.
On the peach, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's the bore that gets into the trunk of the tree, and there's the bore that's the peach.
They get into the peach
twig
itself.
Bore.
Mm-hmm. All over mm-hmm. the place.
Yeah.
Try cutting it open and see what you've got inside.
Mm-hmm.
See if there's a worm or something in there. When and then you'll know.
You'll know. It kind of looks like it's brown with a little pimple on it or something.
Yeah.
When you spray that spinosad? In the evening, morning?
No,
when the bees are out.
You have time. But the heat of the day is, no.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hot.
Morning or evening.
Yeah.
You still don't want to get it on the bees either, though, right? I mean.
Spinosad doesn't.
It doesn't? Oh,
no.
Good. Good. So there you have it.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch the fruit coming on, like the peaches, mm-hmm. the pears. Oh, how's your pear tree?
It's hysterical. It's the 185-pound last year pear tree. 65? 85, whatever it was.
It was 85, yeah.
It was 85.
It was big.
It was huge. It's ridiculous. I've got stuff propping up the branches, and it's fabulous. And the other pear tree is doing really well as well, the one that's super tall. And the peach tree has hardly anything, but it's a dwarf peach.
Mm-hmm.
And last year it was so big it broke more of its branches. I had them braced up, but then the one that was braced up didn't break, but the one that was just to the side of it broke. It was, you know, it had too much fruit for
yeah.
its strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and it's a dwarf, so I'm going to look it up and make sure, but I'm 99% sure that it's past its prime.
How many years have you had that, do you think?
Probably 20, 25.
Oh, that's
yeah.
a long time. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. For peach trees.
For a peach tree.
25
yeah.
to 30 years.
Is about it,
is
even
the
if
lifespan.
It's not a dwarf, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking it's played out. Didn't have many blossoms this year. You know, the whole thing.
Yeah,
like the plum
the
tree. The plum tree, it's out of there.
Yeah. They do come to the end of their life cycle.
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's why you see the orchardists, you know, clear out a whole
yeah.
field, you
mm-hmm.
know, to take them out. Because they're done.
Right.
They obviously have it figured out so that they always have some more coming somewhere and they work it out. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
It's that same thing. Take it out and replant something
yep.
new. It's just
yep.
like
yep.
thinning.
And also it's market.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
A
new variety comes up
yep.
and it's the, you know, the new rage and you got to
sure.
got to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah. Let me just mention before we take a quick break that tomorrow up at the Colorado Research Station up on Rogers Mesa, they are doing 2 years of a regionally adapted seed variety trials workshop.
Wow.
So, yeah, they've got all kinds of things going on tomorrow. They're going to do an overview of the project, and they're performing experimental trials on regional and non-regional seed varieties side by side and trying to identify the traits that are fit for the Western slope and tasty to
ooh,
consumers.
Yeah.
So you can hear about the results and how to help your farm and garden by utilizing regionally adapted seed.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about what a benefit it is to
yeah.
grow
mm-hmm.
your own seed, and it's adapted and
mm-hmm.
acclimated and
mm-hmm.
all that good stuff.
All the A's.
All the A's.
All
right, we're going to take just a quick break and hear from a couple of our underwriters, and we'll be right back. Are back. You are listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF. We are live and call in 970-527-4868-866 KVNF now. And Len is on the line to talk about lettuce in the heat. Hi, Len.
Hi. I don't know if you had discussed this in the past, but if anyone's trying to start lettuce now, and it's doable by vernalizing the seed first What I do is start them in soil blocks, just plant them in soil blocks, the seed, and then I put the trays in a plastic bag, put them in the refrigerator for a couple of days. They'll take about 4 to 6 days after that, if you have good seed, to sprout, because lettuce doesn't like heat, and doesn't like heat over about 75 degrees. It won't germinate at over about 75 degrees at all. So just chilling them down.
That's a good tip.
Make them start. They think it's spring.
Yeah. Right, right.
Right?
You can leave the seed in the freezer and do it that way, too. You can actually...
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Sure.
Full-on freezing.
Anyway, just thought I'd give you the hint.
All right. Cool. Thanks, Glenn.
Yeah, it's not me that invented this process. There's a no-till growers did a show on the fellow in Phoenix that is a big market garden. He grows lettuce all summer.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Goodness.
And sprinkling it a couple times a day, and he starts his seed by vernalizing it in soil block. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's it.
Nice Great. Tip. Thanks for sharing.
That's awesome. I love that.
You bet.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Lynn.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
That's that whole, what are those plants that like that cold stratified?
A lot of things.
Yeah. But lettuce, your spinach will do really good with that. Your carrots, your parsley, your parsnips, they all like that kind of stuff.
They like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My lettuce is in a smart pot that's in the shade.
So it's
very happy. Yeah, it's doing okay. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely in the shade. And there's a big difference in temperature.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the overnight temperatures have started dropping so much as well. But boy, if somebody's growing it in the desert, can you imagine? We're almost desert, but a real desert? Mm-hmm. Phew, honey.
Hey, maybe that's some good advice for Don. I mean, he's trying so much stuff out there.
Yeah.
That'd
there
be great to
go.
Know if that would work. He's had some good success.
Yep.
Hey, our fellow worm, Amber, sent a little message that what Skip has, his blue star holly, is actually sea holly.
Oh.
And it's a perennial that will readily seed itself. So she's familiar with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it in a few yards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love the color. It's great.
I have this stuff called seafoam lavender. It's a serious perennial.
Ooh.
And it's been it's a plant that I've had for over 20 years. And it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's like this mist of this beautiful bluish lavender. And when it dries, it's a lovely white dried flower as well. Well, pale tannish white.
Mm-hmm. Is it like a ground cover or
no? It looks like romaine lettuce. You know, it's like big lettuce-y looking leaves. And I always put a tomato cage around it, at least somewhere around it, because it just falls over. It really enjoys itself. Getting
it's
big.
Going to town.
Yeah, it's going downtown. So I help it stand up, but it's cool. Yeah, it's really cool.
Great.
And I forget its Latin name, so I'm going to look it up right now.
You look that up while I read a little email from Lita. And I believe Lita's out in Redvale.
Mm-hmm.
Lita is talking about rhubarb and grasshoppers. They have stripped her two rhubarb plants. But it doesn't look like the leaves are toxic because numbers of grasshoppers have not decreased.
No.
You don't find a whole bunch of them laying on their back with their feet, their legs up in the air. Nah, they probably are okay.
Right. I have heard different people that are using different concoctions for their grasshoppers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
too.
A little bit of success with all kinds of different stuff. So it's good to try. And Lulu, someone asked you about round two of grasshoppers laying eggs.
Yes. And I said I would check it out. And they do not. They have one brood a year, and they lay the eggs in the fall. Oh, and you know what else I found out? This blister beetle which is not one of your favorite guys to have in the garden, is one of those guys that maybe you want some of them, because when their larva hatches in the ground, they feed on the grasshopper eggs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Blister beetles.
Blister beetles. Yeah.
There's all sorts of guys around.
Yeah, there's guys everywhere doing a job. Right. You know, so
call him in, Guido. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, man, we got you to go break his knees.
All right. Let's see. Corn. Let's talk corn, because all the cornfields are just like exploding.
Exploding.
Yeah. High as an elephant's eye.
Yeah. Mine's popcorn, the Jubilee popcorn.
Yeah.
And it's over 6 feet tall.
Wow.
And the tassels are out and the silks are out and the wind is blowing. So that's good, because it's a wind pollinate thing. And popcorn can have anywhere from 3 to 5 years on it. And right now I can see 3 and sometimes 4.
Oh, so you've got a good crop going.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's on each stalk.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And I know that the corn pollen is not the best food for the bees, but there's a neighbor that probably has 8 to 10 hives. And the corn tassels are loaded with bees.
Oh, nice.
And it's just humming.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And it blows me away. Every tassel is a kernel.
Yeah, every tassel. Silk.
Silk, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Every silk is a kernel?
Is going to make a kernel.
Really?
Yeah. The pollen hits that.
The pollen hits that and goes all the way down. Inside the ear, you know, inside the leaves, and makes a kernel. How? I don't know how everything thinks of this stuff.
It's divine design.
Yeah, it is divine design, mm-hmm. for sure.
We just have never given it enough credit because we think we're so smart.
We're so smart, yeah, right.
Stop for a minute and watch the real intelligence of the earth, right?
Right, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. And when do you harvest corn? How long?
As late as possible.
Oh, okay. So you're going to...
You want to dry it on the stalk. Mm-hmm. That'll get a better dried or cured popcorn to pop better. If the birds come in, if it's late enough, I harvest all the ears. Sometimes I've harvested it where it was too early and I actually cut the whole stalk off and brought them in. The whole stalk and dried them.
And just let it dry on the stalk?
On the stalk, in the house or in the shed or something, because the birds got really bad.
Yeah. What colors are you expecting?
It'll be either white ears or red ears.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you remember all of that super cool colored pink and purple corn up at Matt at Gray Owl Gardens mm-hmm. that we saw last year? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I would expect some of that in the late markets. To see some of that. It was stunning, mm-hmm. stunning corn. 5274-868-866, KVNF now. What's going on with the carrots, Lance? We're all
the harvest has started.
It has started.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of wanted to keep that quiet, didn't you?
So, yeah, the harvest has started.
Okay.
And we'll just see how it goes. Right now, that first bed, you know, even though... it really hasn't completely sized up, so it actually gets harvested a little bit quicker. But after that, and you know, I don't know what if the hot long days slow it down and it's growing. I'm just curious because the other ones pick up and are actually much bigger mm-hmm. than this one bed. So we'll see.
All right. Yeah. So get ready for fall carrots.
Yeah, they're there. Mm-hmm.
And we talked last week about getting ready for your fall planting, beets and daikons and all kinds of stuff. Where are you with that project?
Well, I'm going to go home and plant some.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that bed went around, dug all the grass out the sides of that bed, and then I watered it because it was awful cloddy, hard clods, and then I put 4 wheelbarrows of compost in there and tilled it all in and raked it out. And they're still clods, so I actually raked those out and put those clods in the compost. is what I did with that. And it's all measured out and ready to plant, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you're staggering some of that planting.
Yeah, I'm going to do three different plantings of daikons. And then I will plant a little bit later, maybe mid-August, I will plant the stuff that I want for winter storage as far as daikon radish and stuff. The beets will be planted this weekend. And there'll be three. There will be the golden beet, the Detroit dark red beet, and the Chioggia beet, which is a pink and white concentric circles inside. That nice. One's really fun.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Beets are so good for you, and so many varieties these days.
Yeah, there's so many varieties. And the German Lutz beet is already planted and up.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a little bit longer.
Right. I planted beets, and they're up.
Yeah, so yours were what, like less than a week before they came up?
Yeah, they came. They popped right up. They're in those smart pots in the West Garden. That was the plan. And it's working. So
yay.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For getting a late start, you've got some, you're rolling now.
Yeah, I'm rolling. Yeah, okay. And it's okay. You know, you know, it's fine. Whatever I eat, but I don't.
Yeah, the other... forgot to mention is the snap peas are up, which I planted over a week ago, and the snow peas I'll plant soon.
And my beans are doing really well. And the first leaves are, some of them are damaged on the sides, on the edges, not on the sides, on the edges. And it's probably wind. And it's pretty interesting because the ones that are behind the cosmos and the tomatoes, they don't have any damage. So
really?
I'm thinking it really is wind.
The wind.
It was just wind flapping them around.
Yeah.
And there were some windy days.
Yeah, there has been some
when they were little and tender and they got flapped around, they didn't like it. So they turned brown. They said, nanny boo-boo, we don't like it.
But in general, they're doing good.
Yeah, in general, they're doing good.
Good deal.
Right. So this blister beetle thing is pretty interesting about how it eats the grasshopper eggs.
Yeah.
So it says after they produce a funny chemical that I don't even know if I can, carthridin. I might have gotten close.
That's pretty close. Sounds good.
Yeah, carthridin, in which which is released when the insects are crushed, and the blister beetle can make blisters on tender skin. It also, huge hatches of blister beetles will sometimes happen after big hatches of
grasshoppers
because the blister beetle larva goes through the soil and eats the grasshopper eggs. So, you see how the one follows the other.
Right.
It's pretty
just
interesting.
Takes care of itself.
Right.
Right?
But
predator
in the meantime,
sort of thing.
But in the meantime, the blister beetles like to hang out on alfalfa, where at the orphanage farm, the grasshoppers are all over the alfalfa, and if the blister beetles are in the alfalfa hay, when you bale it and everything, they can be very toxic to horses.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
I saw
one of those really interesting
giant beetle. I don't know what it is.
Oh,
but,
I love
oh
those big
God,
ones. The big ones that shoot that spear out the back. Have you ever seen those? Those are really cool. I mean, it doesn't like fly off. It just comes out. And
right.
This big kind
oh,
of spirit.
Wow. Yeah.
I know. I love those.
Love that stuff.
Yeah.
Amber's got me looking at pictures of bugs. She got me all turned on to that.
Right.
Super fun.
It
oh,
is.
Yeah. Here it's... he is. Look at I have a picture of him. He has those big pinchers.
Oh, wait. Let me
the
see
size
that rascal.
Of, you know, like your thumb, the top of your thumb joint. I mean, he was
oh, yeah.
Big.
They're big.
Yeah. Put a quarter next to him. He would have been all over that quarter.
Is that a dung beetle with those big pinchers in the front?
A dung beetle, really? I don't know.
They grab it and then they roll the dung and then they bring it into their nest and fertilize the soil. It's pretty.
He's certainly capable.
He's
certainly large enough.
He is a beauty.
Right.
Yep.
527-486-8866, KVNF now, worm@kvnf.org is the email. When Amber and I visited your garden, Lance, mm-hmm. you had put all the garlic up, and it was hanging in those beautiful braids in yeah. your drying room. Do you actually braid it?
They're tied on bundles, but they're, yeah. they would look like they were braided.
Ah, yeah. good. Yeah. yeah.
And stuff. Well, I also mentioned Amber had asked me how long I'm going to leave them there, and I says, well, as soon as I need the space. So all the garlic's been trimmed and in baskets, and the seed garlic is set in one place. The other garlic for sale in the near future is in another place. And I harvested all of my Arabian blue barley, one handful at a time with my pruning shears.
Oh, wow.
And and they put them in bundles in those tarps, tied the corners of the tarps together, and hung them, put some string and hung them.
Oh, I bet that's gorgeous.
So I think there's seven tarps.
Seven by seven your tarps are or something
yeah.
you said?
Yeah. yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And wow. So that's in there now. And they can stay, those definitely can stay there until I'm ready to deal with them.
yeah. And that could be sometime this winter.
It could be this winter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The longer, that's a little thing, the longer the grain, the small grain stays on the stalk, the better it gets.
All right. Yeah, so don't rush it.
Yeah.
It cures out.
It cures out.
Yeah. Awesome.
And is that where you planted a cover crop, where your grains were?
Well, where the rye and the wheat, that cover crop of buckwheat is up an inch or two. And when I finished the barley, I turned around and planted buckwheat in there. And it's just been finished watering.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you use buckwheat as a summer cover crop.
Cover crop. Yeah.
We were talking about buckwheat today. That buckwheat vine.
Mm. Oh, the weed.
It's so tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Looks like the other one that we all hate, bindweed, but it's not.
Oh, really? So.
And it's a wild weed, and it's a vine, and yeah, it has little white buckwheat flowers
yeah,
and
it's
the
cute.
Whole thing.
Yeah. yeah. Has little buckwheat seeds. Mm-hmm. It's very prolific.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. it winds up whatever is
yeah.
available.
Whatever, yeah.
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 So buckwheat is your summer cover crop. And then what do you use as you get closer in fall and winter? Over?
Well, you know, mid-next month, I'll plant some, if I can find it, some field pea. Because it's going into the cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And stuff. And then if you're going to do one that's going to survive the winter, you're going to do winter rye. You could do any winter grain, but winter rye is generally the one you use. And you could also use Austrian winter pea. And you can use clovers, and you could do winter vetches. There's summer vetches, and there's winter vetches, and that means it will survive the winter.
All right. So
that's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're already thinking about that. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, my.
Yeah, well,
yeah, we're
outside,
at that
right,
point.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
One
hit the top
thing,
of the tipping point.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm.
No more planting after this weekend.
I'm
done.
Yeah. All right. And let's see. What else do we got here? Working on your flowers, hollyhock. You know, Shane Smith makes little people out of his hollyhocks.
Yes.
It's so cute.
yeah. Yeah, it's really cute. If your hollyhocks, mine were looking so bad, I couldn't stand it anymore. So I went out and cut every leaf, rotten leaf off, threw them to the chickens who love them. And they look spectacular now. They're very happy. There's none of, you don't look at them and see all this ugly, nasty leaves. There's just this big, tall stem with these
beautiful.
Yeah, I've got some red and some white and pink and
yeah,
you know,
hollyhock.
You let them come up wherever they want to, and that's the other thing is when you strip all these leaves off, you're not losing ground to where something else might be planted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Except for the couple of plants where I really stripped them off really early, and now they're coming in for a second showing.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
That's okay.
We like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still beautiful.
Second showing.
Yeah. Yep.
And you've also been whacking some roses back. Which is that like a timing thing that you usually do, or were they just getting out of control?
Yeah, both.
Both.
Yeah, they were way out of control. And And I don't whack them back hard enough in the spring because they're so beautiful when they get big. And, I have the climbing rose that's up in the top of the hawthorn.
Oh, wow.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Father Hugo would like to go to the top of the old lilac as well. But I got to get it out of there, man. It's just, it's to the point where it looks unkempt. It's messy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just too much. And some's blooming and some isn't. And they're out of there. I'm going to whack them.
Whenever I get into that kind of stuff, it's one of the few times I'm wearing
combat.
Combat. Yeah, exactly. Big, heavy gloves.
Me too.
You know, you got to really protect yourself.
Boy, you really do. You need a...
And it's better to wear jeans.
Always jeans, or even I have a pair of chaps from when I used to ride all the time. Sometimes I even put those on. But then it never fails, you know. The minute I bend over, something gets me in the one part that's not covered, right?
So, going into the roses with the chaps
on. But a blue jean jacket is a must.
Mm-hmm. Denim.
You know, denim is a must. Yeah. And
protect yourself.
Yeah, it gets after you for sure.
Hey, Duna's calling from Norwood to talk about beetles.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Hi, Duna.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
You
How
guys
are you?
Are doing a great show today.
Good to have you check in with us.
I love that.
I just wanted to say that the beetles you were talking about, the one that looks like a long pincers coming out of it,
it's
called a scarab beetle, which is the same as the Egyptians.
When we all used to have those scarab bracelets, they were such a trend.
Religiously identified as something that has to do with saving the soul. Mm. And then it's related to the dung beetle. And the dung beetle actually has orange and yellow stripes on it, and it's a little bit larger.
Okay, so this must have been a scarab then, because no colors on it.
No colors on it. It's got
colors.
It's got. It looks like cow horns almost.
In the front, exactly right.
Of its head. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Awesome.
Alrighty.
Now
we know.
Thanks, Duna.
Bye.
Thank you, Duna. That's so cool.
I know we have such. Good listeners and good information that comes from them.
And the more you know, the more curious you get, and then you're out there and you see stuff. And that was something a friend of mine was walking by and was saying how his garden is so tiny, but he goes out and he waters it with his watering can and finds such peace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is the whole reason we have gardens.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
For as hard as you work in that giant garden, Lance, you find a lot of good contemplative time.
Oh,
and
I'm thinking about all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. You really get to meditate.
You know, I don't have a TV. I don't have a stereo system. I don't have a computer, but I'm outside.
Yeah.
I'm looking around.
Exactly.
Wind, sun, clouds, birds, snakes.
Yeah. Snakes, lizards.
It's amazing what runs through your mind, you're not even thinking about it. It's when you're out in nature, it's just like things are just flowing through your mind, and you solve a lot of problems, and you didn't even have to put any real intention on it.
Yeah. Right?
It just comes through.
It's
I like that about
hiking.
It's not
that it's running through your mind, it's that your mind isn't running.
Yes, exactly.
You're just absorbed in what's out there. It's,
yes.
You're just becoming those things. It's
yes.
Great.
Feels so good.
Feels so good.
Hey, I want to remind folks to save the date, which is August 22nd. That's a Thursday. And the Rogers Mesa Field Day is happening from 3 to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
Fun-filled afternoon, various workshops, farm tours, equipment demonstrations.
That's
something
what
new,
we need.
Yeah.
More
right?
More toys, yep.
Of course, the vegetable tasting, fire roasted chilies. And so starts at 3 o'clock, and 4 o'clock they'll be doing the field research tour. 5:30, they start to hand out some pretty cool door prizes. And it is free and open to the public. And make sure you carpool up. with some friends and neighbors.
We're going, right?
Yes.
Are you going too? We're all going. Oh,
that's a month away.
Yes, but it comes so fast, and it's so
actually,
fun.
It's 3 weeks.
It's 3 weeks. I know. That's not that far.
Yeah.
I did want to mention one other thing in the garden is the onions are bulbing. Mm. And so this is another year. I'm still eating onions from last year, and the new ones are coming on.
Are these your potato onions or what varieties?
The potato onions and the Newburg onions I still have.
Wow, those are good storage.
Now, let me ask you this real quick. There's an onion over next door in Dave's yard, and it's got baby onions on its head. What do I do with those?
You plant them.
Ah, right now?
Whenever they drop in the ground, but sure, right now. Okay. Mine is you plant one of those onions, and you'll get 8 to 10 bulbs. About the size of a golf ball or so.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
Because I've never seen them before. I've never had them before. And there they are. So, okay, that's what I do. Great.
Yeah. And you'll get green onions. You don't really get a bulb for it.
Right. But I'll get those beautiful green spring onions. Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I'm in.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks to our callers and the folks that emailed us tonight. Great interactive. Love hearing from folks.
Oh, we love it when you call.
We do. We'll be back next Wednesday and look forward to hearing from you. It's DJ Smith coming up with Global Express next. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody. Be kind.
Which you can make go slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low and low.